Was it the greatest week for Cleveland Cavaliers basketball? No, I can't say that it was, but they still split the week going 2-2, and they still have the best record in basketball coming out of it, 35-6. So there's plenty to celebrate for the Cavs. That's what we're doing here today. Hi, I'm Zach, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, your safe space to celebrate and nerd out about the Cavs. And when I say nerd out, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking hoops by stats you've actually heard of. To join the discussion, just use hashtag CavsCast on social media. If you are anything like me, you often find yourself walking into a room and completely forgetting why you're there. In this case, I might have actually been forgetting on purpose. So, in the spirit of forcefully jogging our memories together, let's start, as we always do, with these Monday episodes. It's a quick recap of the week that was in Cavs basketball. On Sunday, that's when it started. The Cavs lost to the Indiana Pacers in what, at that point, had been their worst offensive showing of the season. 108-93 was the first, the only time so far this year that the Cavs didn't break 100. It wasn't just the fact that they shot a whopping 11 of 41 from the three, which is 27% and barely 40% from the field. No. It actually was a little bit of that. It was also a little bit of the fact that they missed so many wide open shots where they could have just checked the wind before they blanked it. They coupled it with a general lack of effort that had many NBA fans just completely forgetting that they had only lost four games up until that point. It was ugly. So that's why it was so satisfying on Tuesday when they were able to go into Indy and get revenge immediately. 127-117 was the score, and despite the Pacers not having Tyrese Halliburton, it was a very competitive, hard-fought, physical game that the Cavs were able to come out on top of. I went on the block to shot the stop for the post-game live stream and talked about how it seemed like there was a concerted emphasis getting to the rim, not just looking to spray out to the three-point line, but to get to the basket looking to score. And this was particularly true of Donovan Mitchell in the first half, who had his eye, just this look in his eye, that said, we are not losing back-to-back games to the same team again. We may talk about that look later on in the show. So, adding Donovan Mitchell's first half performance to Darius Garland kind of taking over down the stretch, revenge for the Cavs was sweet for a minute. Unfortunately, they weren't the only team with revenge on their minds last week. The Oklahoma City Thunder have apparently been harboring some, call it, ill feelings toward the Cavs since their first epic matchup, because they came out and just punched them in the mouth, in the gut, jaw, nose, both eyes, and even seemed to stomp on their toes for good measure. The entire NBA world was waiting on a Rocky 2 level sequel to the game of the year, and they were left with a, I don't know, feeling like they just got duped into just another garbage Disney grab. This was the game that you put on your TV, you turn it on mute, and then you watch your favorite comfort show on your phone with headphones in. Did I put that on Twitter? Because I tend to cope with traumatic situations with an attempt at humor? Yes. Yes, I did. Did I write some of these lines ahead of recording this? Yes, I also did that too. Do I intend to put this game completely out of my mind? Yes. Yes, I do. Will it work? Probably not. However, the week did wrap up in Minnesota against the Timberwolves on Saturday, where the Cavs got back in the win column, thankfully, 124-117. And honestly, wasn't that close when it mattered. The Timberwolves were able to kind of make a run at the very, very end of the game when the Cavs had sort of taken their foot off the gas. It was really a run in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, where the Cavs were able to just bust this game completely open. It was a 26-5 run that had them going from, like, halfway through the third, they were up by one. And then a couple minutes into the fourth, they were up by 20. The defense stepped up. Oh, and by the way, within that, there was like an 18-0 run, within that 26-5 larger run. It was a great combination of the defense stepping up and also them making some shots. But particularly, the defense was strong in the third quarter, where they held the Wolves to just 19 points in that quarter, which honestly felt really good for this Cavs team, because that third period is just... Third period. What is this, hockey? That stretch of the game has just traditionally this year not been the Cavs' strongest, and so it was nice to see them really come out and play well in the third quarter. Now, I haven't had to do this on a week where they went 500 yet, but we still have plenty to reflect on positively. So, the moment that I've all been waiting for, because this is the highlight of my week, every week it seems at this point, let's give out some made-up awards with silly names. The first one that we're going to do is the sequel is never as good as the original, so can I maybe interest you in a spinoff award for the game of the week? Well, we certainly know what wasn't the game of the week. And as fun as the second half was for the Wolves, the answer here for me is the Tuesday win over the Pacers. It was a revenge game against a really good Pacers team who came in 6-0 in January. They had the second best net rating in January at plus 15. They were the second best defensive rating at 106.5, the best offensive rating at 121.5. And prior to January, this is a team that was 19th in net rating. It was in the wrong direction, minus 2.6. They were 23rd in defensive rating. They were top 10 in offense, but all in all, what they have been able to do, particularly since the start of the new year, but even just across their prior 15 games before facing the Cavs that second time, they were 12-3. Yeah. On the season, they were still 11-6 at home. Like, I rattle all this off just to remind you how good the Pacers have been playing, especially since the turn of the new year. So losing to them on Sunday sucked, but it wasn't a fluke, and neither was getting them back a couple nights later. Donovan Mitchell dominated the first half, and there was like more of a team effort after that. The third quarter had a stretch where Evan Mobley just like imposed his will, and then, as I alluded to earlier, Darius Garland really turned it up in the fourth. The way that they bounced back, though, in this game, particularly from a physicality standpoint, is really what made this the game of the week. They won the rebounding battle. They were active, keeping possessions alive with offensive boards in particular, and they got to the free throw line. This team only averages 21 free throw attempts per game, and they had 31 in this game. Both of these were a clear point of emphasis for the Cavs, and you could tell early on where the Cavs get a lot of their offense traditionally from a driving down the lane and then finding the open man when the defense collapses, whether that's finding a cutter or dumping it off to somebody, in the dunker spot or spraying it out to the three-point line. That's how they built the best offense in basketball. But as, and that's nothing new, right, that I've brought up on the podcast, but that's not how they seem to approach this game. They seem to be driving with the goal of initiating contact and finishing at the rim. And to the Pacers' credit, even without Tyrese Halliburton, they never let the Cavs run away with this game. They fought all the way to the final buzzer. And if Ben Mathurin doesn't get himself tossed down the stretch, who knows what could happen? Because they were on a bit of a fourth quarter run of their own, and he was the one leading it. So it seemed like the wind just kind of came out of their proverbial sails when he got tossed. And then, kind of for the last couple of minutes, the Cavs were able to sort of, Heisman and hold them at arm's length. So now the next award that we're going to do is the Nobody's Perfect. Nobody's Perfect. Hey. But you're perfect for me. In my Missy Elliott voice that I don't actually have. Award for Cav of the Week. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that Donovan Mitchell had the splashiest performances, particularly in the wins, but he kind of disappeared against the Thunder. The guy who was consistently good and at least showed up every night, even when they lost, was Darius Garland. 20 points, 7 assists in the loss to the Pacers on Sunday. 24 points, 7 assists in the win over the Pacers on Tuesday. And 13 of those points came in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. He was the only dude that seemed to step off of the plane in Oklahoma City with 20 points, 9 assists, shot like 7 of 10. He just couldn't do enough on his own to elevate everybody else. The Buzz saw that they were up against with the Thunder. Everyone was going to have to play really well for them to keep up in that game and have a chance to win it. And he was kind of the only. 29 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists to round out the week against the Timberwolves. Darius Garland may not be the leading scorer every night, but he is usually the leading facilitator or very much among them, and he comes alive at winning time. As I mentioned a minute ago, he had 13 in the fourth quarter of the Pacers win. He also scored 21 of his 29 second half points, or 21 of his 29 points in the second half against Minnesota, which is when they pulled away. And again, even in the losses, he was doing everything that he could on a personal level to try to keep him in the game. It just wasn't always enough to get a W in those instances. In a week that nobody went without something to complain about, he was the most consistent and had the fewest flaws. And that does sound like a bit of a gloom and doom perspective for a team that's now 35-6 with the best record in basketball. So it's kind of hard to actually complain much. So the next award that we're going to do is the I Once Registered for an Audition for a TV Show with this exact name award, or X Factor of the Week. And for this, I'm going to go with Ty Jerome. When he was out of the lineup and unavailable, his absence was absolutely felt. And it was on full display against the Wolves when he made such a difference for this team. Whenever this team is getting into a funk or their opponent is able to get them out of their rhythm and kind of throw them off, he has the unique ability to just make something happen to get them back on track. He was also a really big part of the run that they made in this game that really was the turning point and turned it into a victory, busting the game wide open during that stretch. He ended up in that game against the Timberwolves with 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists, while having a ridiculous plus 20 in his 22 minutes. He's just such a difference maker for this Cavs team, and so often they seem to feed off of his energy and his confidence. And again, he's just sort of that, you know, that catalyst that they can turn to from time to time when they're just off, and he can just kind of make something happen. And to me, that is the definition of an X factor. The next award that we're going to do is the forget about it. Has to still be the worst line in any Fast and Furious movie award. For quote of the week. And the quote is, "That's what MVPs do." For some context, Serena Winters was interviewing Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland together after the Minnesota game, and she asked Garland about how Donovan Mitchell bounced back from Oklahoma City. And his answer was more in full, "He always responds, and he always puts the blame on himself when it's a team game. But that's what MVPs do." Donovan Mitchell's not going to win MVP this year. But as the best player on the team with the best record in the league, he is also their emotional leader. And this is the highest compliment that he can get from his teammates, his backcourt mate, and Darius Garland is right. That is what MVPs do. You know, whether he is ever really in the discussion at a national level of really truly getting that award. He's not going to put up the counting stats this year that SGA or Nikola Jokic are going to do, because one of the things that makes him so important for this team is how he's been willing to take a step back statistically to elevate guys like Mobley, guys like Garland, and really make this team as great as it can be. He's absolutely the leader and MVP for this team. The next award that we're going to do is the I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. In my best attempt at a Hagrid voice. Award for Laugh of the Week. In the same post-game interview with Mitchell and Garland, unprompted, at the very end, Donovan Mitchell gave us this gem. He says, shout out to the lady in the elevator. He wished us bad luck and said we were going to be terrible tonight. She set the tone for the whole night. And this was truly, truly a hilarious way. I didn't. Serena kind of lost it for a minute when he said this. It was just the best way to end an interview. Mic drop moment. And Donovan and the Cavs absolutely got the last laugh in Minnesota. The next award that we're going to do is the how many dresses were there in that one movie? Again, award for number of the week. And this one I'm going with 27. Because that's how many dresses were in that one movie that I never watched, but I did hear about it. And that's how many points that Donovan Mitchell scored in the first half of the Pacers' win on Tuesday. And that apparently matched his career high for a first half. Think about that. This is a guy who's scored 25 and a quarter before, 71 in a game. And 27 is the most that he scored in a first half, and he matched it in a game where the Cavs truly needed a strong start. Coming off a loss where they played their worst offensive game to that point of the year, playing the same team, the only team to hold up under 100 points, on the road in that team's building. Mitchell came out and set a tone. He had a 12 straight scoring run for the Cavs in the first quarter, ended the first quarter with 19 points in 8 minutes, eight more in the second quarter, and there was just something different about it. I have in my game notes that the thought that I was having in real time that during one of the trips to the free throw line, he had a different look in his eyes. And I remember mentioning this on the Block the Shot the Stop that it reminded me of the LeBron James meme when he was on the Heat. And I believe it came from a game that he dominated against the Celtics, if my memory is putting all of the pieces together correctly. But if you don't know what I mean, just Google angry LeBron meme. And you'll see the look in his eyes that I'm talking about. That's the look. That's the look that I saw in Donovan Mitchell's eyes during one of his second quarter trips to the free throw line. And I was thinking, this could be a special night. Now, he ended up taking a step back in the second half, so we didn't get a 50 ball or anything like that. But it was his aggressiveness from the beginning to carry the team to, like I mentioned earlier, set the tone, you know, in this revenge game. And they really, really needed it. So the next award that we're going to give away is the That's What MVPs Do award for Performance of the Week. And we're staying with Donovan Mitchell, but this time against the Minnesota Timberwolves. In a game on the road, coming off the worst loss of the season for the Cavs, and the Cavs would be without Evan Mobley, who so often has been a driving force for the team this year, they needed Donovan Mitchell to step up, be the leader, and have a big game. And he delivered. 22 points in the first half. He had come out firing from the jump. I had tweeted this at the time, but he had already taken 14 shots by halftime. To put that into some context, he only averages 18 shot attempts per game this season. unlike the game earlier in the week against the Pacers, he actually kept his foot on the gas in the second half. He reached his average total of 18 shots halfway through the third quarter. He was in attack mode when they needed it. And he ended the game with 36 points. He added like 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Just really the driving force throughout the entire game. And this was also a big bounce back game for he himself, who was not good against the Thunder on Thursday. Seeing him come out as a man on a mission and lead the team to a W over a really good team on the road, while also being the go-to guy, like where, you know, we got used to seeing over the past couple of years on a regular basis, it's important to know that that guy is still in there somewhere when they need him to be. You know, so much of the Cavs' success this season has come from the fact that he's been willing to take that step back, let other guys grow and really assert themselves to elevate the rest of the team. But there are going to be times, there are going to be nights, there are going to be stretches, there are going to be quarters, halves, where they need Donovan Mitchell to be that guy. And he was absolutely that guy against the Timberwolves. So now the next award that we're going to do is the With No Regard for Human Life Award for Dunk of the Week. With about 7:55 left in the first quarter of the Timberwolves game, so really like a couple minutes in, Dean Wade puts on a hustle clinic that starts with a left elbow jumper from Darius Garland that he leaves short. And Wade comes flying in from the left wing and makes this really nice midair tip pass out to George Niang at the top of the key, who then proceeds to miss a straightaway three. So again, Wade is coming in this time from the right wing. And instead of just deciding, oh, I'll flip this out to somebody else again. No. He grabs it with one hand and just slams it down with Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle, all right there, looking up. Like, where the hell did that guy come from? It was beautiful. Did he posterize Gobert? Not exactly. Did he get through some kind of real strong box out from Anthony Edwards or Julius Randle? No, not at all. Was it still a really cool looking dunk? Absolutely. More than that, it's the whole play leading up to it. It's more than just the dunk. It was a sequence that perfectly depicts the value that Dean Wade brings with his size and versatility and his motor, just his hustle for this team. He never gives up on a play. And he's always the guy that's getting after loose balls. He's playing strong defense. He's mixing it up for rebounds on the glass. And, you know, on a team that mostly relies on Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen to clean up the plays on the back end, Dean Wade can be a real difference maker when he's able to impact the rebounding battle and make plays like he did on this possession. Two offensive rebounds right in a row, one of them leading to a massive highlight that is a difference-making moment in a game, but also a super, super cool-looking play. Now, the next award that we're going to do, and this one's actually going to be the final one of the week, it is the Let's Play Keepy-Uppy! Don't Let It Touch the Ground Award for Dime of the Week. With 3:20 remaining in the third quarter of that same Minnesota game, Naz Reid misses a three from the right wing, and the rebound comes off toward Jarrett Allen, who gets a hand on it, but it's tipped away by Nickeil Alexander-Walker. And it winds up in the hands of Ty Jerome. And that, my friends, is precisely when the magic happens. In one just smooth motion, as if it was choreographed, he corrals this loose rebound, doesn't let it touch the floor, and he whips a three-quarter court pass to Max Strus, perfectly in stride for a breakaway dunk to give them a 5-point lead, 79-74. And that was one of the first plays of that massive run that the Cavs made to take the game over in Minnesota. And everything about this pass, just absolutely ridiculous. From even getting the rebound, which I'm sure he wasn't expecting, because he was at the free throw line and not in a position to make a direct play on the ball at all. But then in the fraction of a second, he had to process what was going on and figure out, oh, I do have the ball. To see Max Strus, who had leaked out ahead of the defense, and register that there was a fast break opportunity, to the sheer velocity needed to get the pass that far down the court without it getting picked off by the much bigger Naz Reid, who was trailing Strus, and the accuracy and timing that it hit Strus in stride, not even needing a rhythm dribble. He didn't need an extra step or anything. He just caught it in stride, finished at the rim with a two-handed dunk in transition. Absolutely unbelievable pass. With that, that's all the awards that I've got for you this week. If you want to nominate your own, go ahead and use hashtag CavsCast on X or Blue Sky. Make sure that you're following the Ethos Cavs page for the show. And go ahead and give myself a follow too, Zach-NBA, if you want to make double sure that I see your nomination. But tell me the guy and the award. It can be silly and fun. You can give it a funny name, or it can be one of the ones that you're used to me giving out on the show by now. I also want to remind you that this is a brand new show. So if you could please, if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe and go ahead and in the app that you're listening to for a pod player, hit the follow button, please. In next Monday's award show, we're going to be celebrating the moments that tell the story from this coming week, which starts, as you're hearing this, today, Monday, when the Cavs host the Suns in an afternoon tip. Then they've got road games in Houston for the Rockets on Wednesday. Then they've got the Sixers in Philly on Friday before coming back home for a Rockets rematch on Saturday, which is kind of a weird circumstance for a back-to-back to happen. It's your second game against the same team in four nights while also coming off a game against somebody else the night before. The NBA schedule is weird. Usually what I do at this point in the show is tell you what game I think is most dangerous in this week's slate. And with this one, I'm actually going to go with game because I do not feel particularly good about how the Cavs match up directly with Houston. When you think back to the teams that have given them trouble, even in wins, it's teams with length on the perimeter. That's why so many in the fan base and general NBA fans say that, you know, as good as the Cavs have been, they still need an upgrade in the big 3-and-D wing department. And that's also why the name Cam Johnson has been synonymous with the Cavs since the rumor mill started way back in the offseason. And it's, you know, heating up again now after the loss that they had against the Thunder. And at the moment that I'm recording this, which is Sunday afternoon, for you to hear this on Monday, he's not been traded from the Nets yet. So we're going to keep hearing about that trade, but we're not here right now to litigate the merits of what those potential packages could be and whether it even makes any sense for the team. What we are going to do is just think back for a second on some of the tougher matchups that the Cavs have had this season. The Celtics, literally built on long, versatile perimeter players who are studs defensively. The Hawks, it's Trae Young surrounded by nothing but like long 6'8 versatile 3-and-D wings for the most part. Seriously, go back to those Hawks games. Just look at some of the still images, like the photos taken during that game. There's one that I remember vividly seeing. Their shooting guard, Mason Daniels, is just looking Jarrett Allen directly in the eyes. You know, and while he does lack a little bit on the three side of things, he's an absolute menace in the E department. The Thunder, you know, we just saw that disaster. Long, versatile, defensive-minded perimeter players everywhere on the roster. It's like all they have. Yeah. Even the Pacers have some rangy size, and they've played defense in the new year really, really, really well. It's kind of no wonder that they're beating everybody but the Cavs. And they did actually beat the Cavs. You remember splitting the... Never mind. That's not the point. So now, I bring that up because if we look at the Houston team that they're going to face, they're one of the biggest surprises in basketball. second in the West as I record this, and how are they doing it? Stifling defense, particularly on the perimeter. They have so much size and athleticism, it hasn't mattered that they play Fred VanVleet and Alperen Şengün. They're still top three defense in basketball. Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason. They have so many long, athletic dudes that Cam Whitmore can barely get on the floor consistently. It's the Hawks on steroids, really. And of course, I'm not saying this to say that the Cavs are incapable of beating this team. The Cavs also pose very unique matchup issues for pretty much everyone they play, including the Rockets. And with Kenny Atkinson holding the clipboard, they tend to feel good about their ability to scheme away some of their weaknesses. They've done that pretty well all year long. But what I am saying is that the unique matchups that the Cavs tend to struggle with look a lot like the Rockets. And in a lot of cases, aren't as good as the Rockets. And they get them twice this week. So they're going to need everyone to step up and play well in both of those games if they want to come out on top. If you made it to the end, please, if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit the like button. If you are listening on a pod player, please rate the show 5 stars in whatever podcast app that you're using right now. That will help to not only give me the warm and fuzzies and make me feel like I'm doing a good job and all of that, but it'll also help to tell the algorithms that this show is actually worth serving up to people. Next time you hear from me, I'm super excited because I'm going to be joined by Cavs Media Royalty. Justin Rowan from the Chase Down Pod is going to be joining me for a fun discussion about what might be his favorite topic, lineup data. And I'm stoked for it. I'm over the moon and really pumped to have that recording happen. So I'm really looking forward to that. Now that the episode is over, go ahead and open up your app store. Download the Sports Ethos app for one of the best blurb feeds in the business. You got Cavs players in there, fantasy tools, news, updates, all of there. It's all there. The Sports Ethos app. Go ahead and download it. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for nerding out with me, Cavs fans.